With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
You got a $10 bill, put your hands up, everyone. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Fulham are relegated and Manchester United are getting ready for tonight. It's Tuesday, 11th of May. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Pete Donaldson.
And I'm Vinicius Natarajan.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the annual Newcastle United are staying up party.
I'm coming. I'm staying up. And I better get the continue the party, please.
Oh, dear. What about that win for Burnley? Eh? It's kept so many teams up, Vish.
Yeah, I didn't realise that a Burnley win would have such, you know, wide-ranging therapeutic properties. But there we are. How are you?
I'm okay. I've prepared for this for many, many weeks and months and years now. It's the inevitable, really, wasn't it, Vish? I think that there was a flicker of hope around sort of the turn of the year. Was it sort of when they won Liverpool? They won the City of Liverpool. Well, oddly enough, that yes, they did record two victories in the City of Liverpool at Anfield and Goodison Park, of course. But it was not enough. And if you don't score goals, it would turn out that doesn't really work for football matches.
No, many people have tried that route, but no.
Have they been as dedicated as Fulham have to that route?
Very few. No one's looked as good while trying to do it, I have to say.
Yeah. I mean, it's the third consecutive season in the Premier League, if you will, that Fulham have been relegated. Which, of course, they've had two promotions and two relegations of the last four seasons, but I think it was 2013-14 when they went down.
Some of the cons are a bit shit, really.
Yeah, it is. So, billionaire owner, not always a good thing.
No.
Not that he was in charge for, you know, but yes, if you see what I mean.
Yeah. Also, like, we know that Fulham didn't need to get relegated to show us that. We know that now quite clearly, don't we?
Yeah, but Fulham have shown it in a different way.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Uh-huh. Okay.
We'll get to the ESL sides in a minute because I mean maybe they do like an American billionaire. Maybe Fulham won't have to play in the Championship next season. They'll be in the ESL.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay,
although
like
the
that.
ESL, yeah, I know what you mean. We'll see. We'll talk about that in a bit. But I mean, you know, Fulham were in the Premier League for 13 straight seasons once upon a time. That does seem quite a long time ago. And of course, in footballing terms, it is.
Well, I mean, I think it's stark the difference between Al Fayed, how many relegations? One, two? And then, yeah, and then under the Khans, three in 8-9 years. It's, yeah. It's not great reading, is it, really?
Well, who would have thought we would be chanting, get Al Fayed back in?
You know, Al Fayed.
Yeah.
A rap on Ali G. Al-Fayed. Al-Fayed.
Just saying his name over and over again.
For those who remember that.
Did he get his passport in the end? He was very annoyed
about
not
getting
his passport. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
He owned Harrods. I mean, that should be a...
And Fulham.
That should be...
I mean, it's a real charm offensive, that, isn't it?
Yeah. Know your market.
Oh, no. We're not going to be giving you a passport anytime soon, Sam. But yeah, it's Scott Parker said, at this moment in time, I have nothing but sadness. And you've got a feel for him, Peter, haven't you?
Yeah, I mean...
All right, maybe not the right person. Do you remember all those sideways passes at Newcastle United?
Well, just like very, very little stability from the club on high, I think. I do think whenever I saw Fulham play, they played with a lot of fear.
Yes.
They made too many mistakes and they just didn't seem that interested in getting into the final third. But I just think he didn't watch Nuns on the Run before the final match that could have saved his season.
Yeah.
He watched Cars because he's a lovely little boy.
Because what did Rooney watch? Sister Act 2?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Sorry. Yes. Sister Act 2.
Well, any film featuring nuns.
If you were listening to the show yesterday, I said I get the film Nuns on the Run mixed up with Sister Act, and this is how that has been represented. This is a good example of me in the wild when my brain, when the little man lives in my head goes to the little film library. He goes, what about the nuns? Yeah, I'll get it out. Yeah. Nuns on the Run.
Were they running? Were the nuns running?
Yeah, I think I saw one running.
Nuns on the Run not only is a brilliant film, it's one of the best titles of any film you could ever see.
Well, you know.
Sorry. You should just like going into your brain and going like, we should watch the lake house, shouldn't we? What's this? Reservoir Dogs. Yeah.
Do you often get Whoopi Goldberg mixed up for Robbie Coltrane?
Yes, a little bit. When they're wearing a habit, yes.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Fair enough. Glad we cleared that up. But yes, 1 point in 7 games since that win at Anfield, which of course took them level with Brighton. They were only just a point behind Newcastle United. They did seem a little something, but very, 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 very poor.
How many of those players, Marcus, as a casual, sort of lapsed Fulham fan, what would you call yourself at this moment in time? Because I'm a
Fulham fan, but I mean, but you know, I was...
Ashamed Fulham fan.
Well, I'm very much looking forward to the Championship. No VAR.
Yeah.
Swimming pools on roofs.
More games than ever before.
Yeah, exactly. No, but the thing is, though, like, honestly, I've said this a number of times before, but when it's like it is in the Premier League, and also for a club like
Fulham...
You can
leave the bullshit behind, can't you?
You can, but also, and this is the luxury of having an owner with a lot of money and Fulham where they have been, because you remember those seasons in the Premier League, and you remember even the Europa League, for crying out loud. So Fulham are not the... I mean, you know, they get relegated. They could be in the Championship. They could do a Leeds. You know, they could be in the Championship for a long, long, long time. But of course, with the recent history, you think to yourself, they probably won't be in the Championship that long. You know, there's always a chance of promotion, even though they did go a handful of seasons in the Championship, and it was a bit precarious at one point for League One. So you have that, which might be a bit foolish. So you think actually going down to the Championship and in theory, or you know, thinking it, you know, in more sort of positive terms. Well, you win most weeks if they can keep a lot of the players and they can make good signings, blah, blah, blah. Mm. It's actually quite enjoyable.
I said there's no fear of the Championship, but it's whether you get back up again.
No, of course. But I think sometimes, though, if you're having a good time in the Championship, if you have too good a time, you get kicked out.
Yeah, they do that.
Do you know what I mean? And I've often thought to myself,
pubs,
win in moderation.
Yeah. Come on, we've all had enough. Come on.
If you drink too many 3 points, then
get thrown out into the Premier League.
But outside of like Anderson, Areola,
yeah,
Mitrovic probably isn't there, but like, who would you say is Premier League quality?
Well, that's it.
I'd say Lookman's Premier League quality.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
But this,
yeah,
is, this is the thing, a lot of the better players who are for West Ham this season have been on loan. Sorry, Fulham this season have been on loan. And then none of them are going to stay.
Yeah.
None of them are going to stay in the Championship. They've probably, to a man, done enough to, you know, to get signings potentially elsewhere.
I mean, Anguissa, you know, if no
Anguissa,
one,
yeah, exactly.
No one comes in for him, they'll be mad. You know, what a player he is.
So, I mean, I do genuinely fear a little bit for Fulham, not least because I don't know if Scott Parker's going to stay. And I don't mean that in terms of, I don't think Fulham should get rid of him. Although I do think he's flattered to deceive a bit because he's nice looking, because he wears clothes that we can comment about, and also because he's just a very engaging personality. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I would be a little bit fearful of Fulham next year, especially if Brentford don't get promoted through the playoffs.
Mm. Yeah,
because then you've got another big fish down there, haven't you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Saw them off though the other year. So maybe that. No, but I know what you mean. I think that apparently the word on the mean streets of Fulham is that the club want Parker to stay on.
Okay.
So we shall see. I mean, Parker himself seemed sort of, one sense he's kind of saying, well, let's see how the chats go. And in another sense, he's thinking, but I want to do this and I want to do that. So clearly, if the club matches sort of ambitions or will sort of acquiesce to his demands or whatever, then there's a chance there that he will stay. I mean, I would expect him to. I think if Scott Parker left, I don't know how many clubs would sort of come in for him, certainly of Premier League.
Yeah. So you mean, so from Scott Parker's words yesterday when he was saying, you know, it needs to be sorted out above him, basically what he means is he wants money to sign players. Well, that's money, essentially.
I think he really wants to kind of, you know, he talked a bit, didn't he, about getting off the roller coaster.
Yeah.
And people said last time when Fulham went down and they spent a lot of money, all right, we've learned from that. Okay. Well, yes, it was a quick turnaround. It was 39 days they had to prepare after winning the playoffs, which is the tightest turnaround in top flight history because of COVID and all that sort of stuff, of course. So it was a bit of a task, but they haven't, I mean, they've gone down. So the results speak for themselves. There's a lot of loanees come in, and it is believed that most, if not all of them, will go, despite one or two of them, like Anderson, having a good relationship with the manager. And I think that Parker himself does paper over a few cracks, you're right, with the style and the hair and all that, but also with his man management. Some of the players, they do like him. They seem to be, other than Mitrovic, because he's not picked him so much. So there's a lot to consider there, but I think he wants to really try and overhaul, because they've got a great academy who produce players. And, you know, tap into that, not kind of, again, right, we're going up, quick, a load of low knees and all that. Yeah, you have to do a little bit of that.
But do academy players score goals, necessarily? Are they the people you're going to be looking to? I mean, Bobby Armani Reid is, like, coming with five. Like, and Mitra's got
Bobby
three.
Bobby Decordova Reid.
Sorry, Armani Decordova Reid.
Yeah. But I think with the academy, Fulham don't make much money from the academy as well. So, actually, you want to create a more sustainable thing. So if you are going to produce...
That's generally how children work, yeah. Can't sell these for toffee.
No, but you've got the young lad who went to Liverpool, for example. Yeah, so Harvey. Yeah. You know, they've produced some players.
And Sessegnon, obviously. Yeah.
Fulham have got a great opportunity. They've got money. They're in a desirable part of the country where people kind of want to go and live and all that sort of stuff. So really, it should be a well-functioning club. And it, you know, it shouldn't be, oh, we've got promoted, right, quickly, sign a load of players. It should be more streamlined, and I think that's probably what he wants to do. I'm sure a lot of clubs want to do it. It's a very hard thing to do.
Yeah, and I think that the thing you would say about Parker and Fulham this season is we have actually seen flashes of a good team in there.
Yeah.
There's certainly his management has lent itself to them being a bit more... certainly they've had more of ball. I think they're like 10th for possession, and obviously that doesn't equate to... You know, being successful in the Premier League, because I think if you look at the bottom three, only one of them have been relegated anyway. But then, you know, the way that they developed that counter-attacking style, the way they were, I know there were only draws, but there was an unbeaten period in the middle where it felt like, oh, God, they're turning a corner here. Because at the start of the season, and I think I said it on here, I mean, I thought they were dead by October, So the way he was able to turn that around speaks volumes of what he is about. And I suppose he just needs time. And I suppose fundamentally the issue with Fulham's season has been all the flashes have happened at different times. Mm. They've been solid defensively. They've been quite engaging attackingly. They've made good use of the ball, but never really at the same time in the same game.
Yeah, I don't know, just totally. But the lack of scoring goals is a huge problem. And if you're Alexander Mitrovic, Peter, you think to yourself, well, hang on a minute, I've scored a lot of goals for this club. It is his goals that hugely contribute for Fulham going up.
Mm.
He's not really played that much. He started very few games this season.
12.
Yeah, and
12, and he's scored 3 goals in the Premier League.
Something
I mean,
like that,
and,
yeah.
And he's played way more coming off the bench. I do think he is a limited footballer, and we've spoken about it before. His level probably is the Championship. It's just one of those things, isn't it? Like, he'll have a lovely time when you go down, and Fulham will be playing better football.
But will he stay there, though? Because if you think about Mitrovic, though, he could go to a club that's playing in a top flight in Europe. Like, say, was it he nearly went back to Anderlecht, was it, before
right.
Fulham came in? I think because he scored a lot of goals there. Well, if you're playing for a side like that, you know, when the rules relax and we get back to something resembling normality, you're playing in front of a packed crowd, you're going for titles, and you're probably playing in Europe. Now, you might say, well, it's only the Belgium league. Yeah, but still, though, come on, have a bit of respect there.
But I think...
Whereas at Fulham, he's probably thinking, he's sitting on the bench, and he's thinking, I've scored 41 goals for Serbia internationally in 65 or whatever it is games. You know, you can understand if he's a little bit frustrated because they lack goals, and he's thinking, I've scored a lot of goals for
this
club.
He's very slow, though. Like, he is very, very slow. He grafts, but he's good for a yellow card, and he sometimes gets sent off as well. He's a risk, you would say, to build your team around. Fulham need goals for elsewhere, whether you've got
Alexander... You're beginning to sound like Rafa Benitez, Peter. That's who you're sounding at right now.
Yeah, because I've watched him sort of play, and he is quite a limited footballer. He's not quick enough for the Premier League for me. I don't know.
And I think that proved out by the fact that they got Josh Maguire in on loan, who's not exactly a prolific goal scorer, and basically got him because he moved better.
Okay, so compare someone like Mitrovic to Chris Wood. I mean, Wood's not particularly quick, is he? Similar type of forward, you could argue.
I mean, look at the goal, the games he played in and scored at Mitrovic in the Premier League, Leeds and Aston Villa. Like, they're promoted sides. It's not great, you know.
Villa stayed up, but yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, but still though, like, he hasn't been given much of a chance, but I mean... I think Mitrovic could be he's a Premier League he could play in the Premier League for a side.
So I think Parker and his relationship is interesting because at the start of the season I couldn't believe that he was able to get Mitro and Abu Kamara in the same squad, in the same city, and you know, bear in mind how it ended with those two. And it does seem that he's quite upfront with Mitrovic because some of the Fulham games that I've covered where Mitchell has come up in conversation in press conferences quite a lot. He has been up front with saying that we just needed a bit more movement out there.
Yeah.
We know he can score goals. And he talks him up while also explaining why he doesn't start him. Yeah. And I suppose that works on a week-by-week basis. But then at the end of, you know, 9 months of a football season, you're kind of thinking, you're just fobbing me off here. So they're clearly going to have a conversation if Parker stays on and... If Mitro wants to be a part of it, or even if he has to leave, he's going to have this conversation with Parker, isn't it?
Well, this is the difficult thing now for Fulham. You know, if they go down, all the loanees that they've got in, a lot of them, if not all, go because they don't sign them on permanence. They turn to the players who got them into the Premier League and go, hey, guys, still interested, guys. You know, and that is a very, very difficult thing to do. Some will stay, inevitably. There are some older players in that side. But I think Mitrovic could be off because he'll think to himself, oh, well, now you need me, do you? You know,
that's an interesting dynamic. I know we might talk about yo-yo clubs a bit later, but you've spoken before about how the players you bond with when you're in the Championship, because the Championship is a long season, there's a lot more jeopardy in it, are the ones that you've unfortunately got to be like,
I just want to see Tom Kearney's
Sorry,
wand.
Brian. Yeah, we can't.
Just one more season. he could leave. We shall have to wait and see. Maybe, though, Parker needs to take a leaf out of Sean Dyche's book when Chris Wood sort of half-joked about Dyche's managerial style and said he just shouts at us, doesn't really try and coach us, just make sure we work hard, which is quite a...
I don't think he even shouts. His voice is so absolutely destroyed. He half-shouts. But, it's not the conditioning.
But, Peter,
shouting.
Just to say he doesn't really try and coach us, like, Dyche can't be happy with that comment, can he? No doubt he'll make his feelings known.
No doubt. I mean, look, I think the reviews are in for Sean Dyche once more, and he's kind of come through with sort of flying colours. Like, I think any owner, probably Mike Ashley, accepted if you want to run a club on a pound.
Yeah, exactly. No, Dyche has to pay him. Dyche has to pay subs at the start of the season. Oh, it's 50 quid.
Right, I mean, they had a terrible start of the season. They had injuries and, you know, they signed a midfielder from Brighton for Pokemon cards and then that's your lot. That's your lot for the season, and they're up. They're staying up again. It's incredible. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I tell you what,
incredible.
I mean, he said obviously off the field with new ownership and all that sort of stuff. Imagine if they came in and got rid of him. Imagine yes, that. Like, exactly, do you realise the Pandora's box you're opening? It would be incredible. I mean,
14th on fuck all.
he has. I know. Look, people can criticise Daesh and da 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 da, but you're right,
including his own players,
including his own players. It would appear, but you know, he's 350th league game in charge of Burnley. Next season will be their sixth consecutive campaign in the top flight. It is remarkable. We talk about the money Fulham have and so on. Money speaks in football, obviously, as it does in everywhere in society. And you have to say he does a remarkable job, Vish. But it's interesting, this sort of this dynamic. Would you rather be in Burnley's position where some people, if you really want to be harsh, sort of think, well, okay, but you're just sort of treading water in the Premier League? I personally don't see it as that. But some people may say that, or would you rather be in this sort of situation with Fulham where you have a bit of money and you think, well, there's potentially they could go down, rebuild and come back up and build something. You know, what do you reckon?
I don't really know, because I suppose with Fulham, you do get the highs of promotion, of a playoff, and that kind of excitement. And with Burnley, maybe you don't. But there's also a sense that, you know, if you're a Burnley fan of a certain age, this is still a novelty to you. Being in the Premier League is still a novelty. And so therefore you're going to be more appreciative of it than other people from the sidelines. Whereas if you've kind of maybe had your formative years and known this Burnley as your Burnley, then maybe you think, shit, it'd be good if we could push forward. Especially, you know, bear in mind that they're basically level with Palace, at Crystal Palace at the moment. And you see Palace going out and signing like an Eze, someone exciting and playing this exciting way and still being where they are, you kind of think, oh, could we do that then?
Yeah.
Could we play more exciting and stay where we are? So I don't know. I mean, my gut says I'd rather be Burnley, because you should always appreciate what you have. And, you know, Fulham, we've mentioned it a bit before, but like it could, there's always a potential to unravel with Fulham.
Yeah.
Whereas there isn't so much with Burnley.
Yeah. Daesh is like the cork in the bottle, keeping all that Premier League juice inside.
He's the Whoopi Goldberg
in Yeah, he's the Robbie Coltrane. I know what you mean. I mean, I think that what Daesh has done there, because, you know, to be an established Premier League side, even if you're mid-table, even if you're looking over your shoulder every for relegation, being, like I say, the 17th, 16th best side in England, it's an achievement. Yeah, I understand it's not what... The reason why we say, well, it's not what, even Newcastle United really want, or it's not what Everton want, or something like that. But you look at the money, and you look at the tradition, and you look at the recent history of those sides. Whereas with Burnley, as you say, it's on a shoestring budget. Remarkable.
Give them some players. Give them some players to play with.
Yeah, Mitrovic maybe. Him and Chris Wood up front.
Bloody hell, imagine that.
Well, they've got actually Barnes off the bench as well. It'd be quite a fierce strike force. Fulham, of course, are going down. Talking of promotion and relegation, Tranmere Rovers, gentlemen. Let's go down to League Two. They got into the playoffs. Keith Hill, their manager, has been sacked this morning, so he's no longer their manager. This is despite them, as I say, kind of sneaking into the playoffs. Apparently, he's fallen out with some of the players.
Right.
In fact, you could maybe even extrapolate and say all of the players. So he took them from 13th to 7th. They only won two of their last 11 games, so not brilliant reading. They lost the EFL Trophy final to Sunderland. He's fallen out with some of the players. They're going into the playoffs. We saw this with Spurs in the League Cup final. This is like managerial, you want that new manager bounce to the nth degree, is it not?
I mean, that is an absurd new manager bounce you're looking for there. Like, well, I mean, take you to the moon.
You need
from
a cup manager.
But Spurs did this in the League Cup, didn't they?
They didn't do this in the League Cup. Yeah, let's give it to this child. Let's let this child win a trophy for us.
We were talking about this before we came on air, and Pete said, well, Jose Mourinho, he's not starting at Roma until the summer.
What's his hours like at TalkSport?
Go on, Jose, just for a little bit of a hobby. Get your eye in the game.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
What's his hours like at TalkSport?
Yeah,
TalkSport standing there. Sorry, Jose, but you're down for 3 till 5 on Saturday.
We're training in the morning today. Well, no, get on there and answer the phones, mate.
What do you reckon? Paolo Di Canio?
Russell wants a coffee.
Paolo Di Canio. Yeah, probably. That'd probably be something like that.
God,
mad like that.
That is absolutely crazy stuff. Well, we look forward to seeing what Tranmere can do in the playoffs. ladies and gentlemen.
Who's got a shouter? Though? So, like, is it? Do we know if there's a takeover? If there's like a caretaker manager at this point?
No, we don't. I mean, it was only this morning. Just minutes. Ooh, before
we could do it.
Yeah,
we couldn't, could we? Though?
No, we could.
Could we?
Yes.
Okay.
We could learn the play. Because any manager who comes in, he's going to be shouted, Dave, not Steve. He's going to get all the names wrong.
Yeah.
We could just spend the next...
Between the three of us. I'll coach the strikers. Vichy, you do the midfield. 20th of May,
we've got 9 days to learn some players' names.
I reckon we could do this.
Okay.
Because bear in mind, anyone who comes in, as Pete says, is just going to refer back to the old team sheet. We look at that. Look at the numbers.
Like you're doing football manager. Organised by average rating. When you come in, ask the assistant manager to pick. So, and then just do some shouting.
Exactly.
Anyone with a work rate under 15, bin them.
That's right. And before the game, we watch Nuns on the Run.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Saribo, West on the Free. Easy. Easy, Dave.
Well, assistant Ian Dawes is taking over for the semi-final.
Pathetic.
Unless.
He's part of the problem, probably.
Yeah. Oh, dearie me. Right, ladies and gentlemen, let's have a quick break.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
This week at Sukarnov.
Jim recently joined Luke on the Luke and Pete Show to discuss the do's and don'ts of riding roller coasters.
So why are we talking about him today?
We're talking about him because he once killed a goose with his face on a roller coaster.
And over at Self Care Club, Lauren and Nicole are talking about taking care of yourself while supporting others for Mental Health Awareness Week.
I also think that this Mental Health Awareness Week is beautifully timed because we are slowly coming out of lockdown. Mm. Everyone is feeling a little bit all over the place.
Yeah.
Where should I be? What do I want? What do I not want? All those questions.
Yeah.
So
it's an unsettled feeling, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
So I think the timing of this week is absolutely imperative.
All that and a whole lot more at Sukarnov.
I'm Martin Keown and you're listening to Football Ramble.
Yeah, maybe just one small bit of the Football Ramble. That'd be all right.
Hi. I'm Martin Keown and you're listening to the Football Ramble. I'm Martin Keown.
There he is, ladies and gentlemen.
Getting your name wrong.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. It's now time for that email from our friend and yours, Matt Baker.
I'm low. From Chris Featenby, on behalf of all long-suffering Coventry City fans, may I be the first to welcome Marcus back to the greatest league in the world, the Sky Bet Championship.
Hey!
This is particularly exciting as this will be the first time Coventry will face Fulham in the league since the 67-68 season.
There
would you
go,
believe?
You
That's
see?
Weird. That last meeting is of personal significance as coming off the bench to score for Coventry was Sky Blue legend and my great uncle, Brian Hill.
Ooh.
Uncle Bri spent 14 years at his boyhood club before brief stints at Torquay and Bristol City before returning home to retire. Sadly, we lost Uncle Bri in 2016 after a very long battle with dementia. At the risk of ruining a happy email, I can tell you from personal experience that Chris Sutton is right when he says the FA, PFA et al. Did to use a Luke Moore-ism, the square root of fuck all to help him or his family. Mm. Anyway, I'm sure I speak for all Sky Blues when I say we're excited to welcome you and your cottages to your first visit to the newly rechristened Coventry Building Society Arena next season. Thank you for your email, Chris.
Appreciate that. Yeah, I see, that makes me feel better already.
Yeah. And I suppose it's part, you know, the important message behind that is that, like, there are loads of players who've been in that situation as his Uncle Brian, so it's good to get his name out there as well. Yeah,
absolutely.
I've got an email from Matt Lucas, not that one, following on from the chat last week about putting mics in the dugout. My friend used to work in the media team for a championship club, and his seat for all the home games was behind the away dugout. One week, the away team was Harry Redknapp's QPR.
Here we go.
My friend was excited to see how a former Champions League manager and potential England manager coached his team from the touchline. At this point, Redknapp had a knee injury, so was on crutches. Throughout the second half, Harry seemed to be fixated on the idea that Danny Simpson was going to make a mistake, even though there was absolutely nothing to suggest he was going to, and having a great game by all accounts. Harry thought otherwise, and every 2 minutes he would turn to his assistant and say, "Danny's going to fuck up here." After a good 20 minutes of this, he struggled to his feet on crutches, hobbled to the side of pitch and shouted, "Danny, Danny, Danny! Do not fuck up!" Cue Danny Simpson looking back, utterly confused with his arms in the air, and Redknapp hobbling back to his seat and offering absolutely nothing else in the way of insight or instruction for the rest of the game. Then he went on to win the Premier League 2 seasons later. I wonder if his performances that season were largely down to remembering not to fuck up.
That's brilliant, isn't it? Imagine if he shouts that, though. Danny Simpson turns around and goes, "Oh, yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
That's it. Sorry, I was, yeah."
What, fuck that. Up? What, fuck up? No, don't fuck up. Yeah. No.
Sorry, I forgot my instructions.
Oh, Danny.
Yeah.
He was the creator of the popular video game on iOS systems called Danny Boy.
Is that right?
Yes, when I think he thought his career was going to go in a different direction.
Oh. Now he's a Premier League winner.
Now he's a Premier League winner.
How about that, everybody? Thank you for your emails. And, oh, go on, then, one more time.
Oh, baby, it's time for this.
I prefer to kill him.
Time for a bit of Portmantonio Conte. It's that time again. I say this time again, sometimes on a Wednesday, sometimes on a Thursday, sometimes it's on a Tuesday.
That's so exciting, you just don't know when
you
it's going to appear.
You never know where it's going to... I prefer to kill him, it's going to appear, it's here. Guys, you know how to play two footballers mashed together, you got to give me what they're called, yeah?
What's that on your laptop?
Don't answer that question!
No, that.
Oh, let me smell. It's a menthol, licorice and blackcurrant flavour airwaves.
Oh.
Fair play, yeah. Sorry, continue.
All right.
I took it out of my pocket to eat it and then I remember I'm doing a podcast. Right. Craig Henry.
I don't know why we bother.
Craig Henry's coming with a clue this time round. I am a prolific retired striker for Newcastle, Spurs and QPR who received an honorary knighthood.
Sorry, can you repeat that? I do apologise.
Try to give yourself more time.
I'm saying it for vicious
disgusting
benefit.
I was just imagining you pulling out a knife and fork.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Just putting a pip on. Oh, sorry. God.
Sorry, I just brought in a lobster to me.
That three course dinner.
From Craig Henry.
Yes.
I am a prolific retired striker for Newcastle, Spurs and QPR who received an honorary knighthood, and I am an injury-prone striker who once reportedly broke Stephen Taylor's jaw due to matters of the heart.
Les Ferdinandy Carroll.
Oh, not even!
Well played. Well
Fantastic
played.
Fantastic work. Smashing
that
stuff.
That was a good one.
Matters of the heart.
Where did you pull those two players from?
Right. Second clue. Also
God, that was
Craig
brilliant
Henry.
Work
that was
great.
Fantastic work, yeah. Isn't it? I joined Real Madrid from Spurs in 2012 for 30 million and I am a retired Irish international who formerly played for Man City, Villa and QPR. I also hold the joint Premier League record for being sent off.
Luka Modric, Richard Dunn. Luka Modric Dunn.
Thank.
Luka Modric Dunn.
Yay!
I don't know the rules anymore.
Nice to hear from Dubois at the end.
Oh, fantastic. Well, well done, lads.
Surely the first time we've won both of them.
It's a clean sweep. I think it is a clean sweep. I shall celebrate with a chewing gum.
Surely Mr. Conte gets the last word on this, though, doesn't he?
I prefer to kill him.
There it is, everybody. What a successful, a rare successful outing
well
for Bob Antonio Conte.
Reckon.
Because the clues were good. They're easy ones. That's why. It's not like I played three times for Newcastle United.
And I've been arrested for arson.
There's just too many names in the clues like that. Oh, dearie me. Right, gentlemen, let's talk about the European Super League. They're still clinging on.
Still clinging on.
It's alive, apparently. Barcelona,
Shall
Juventus.
We get a jet washer. Just turd on the side of foot. Get off.
Barcelona.
Aerosol lighter. Done.
Flamethrower. Barcelona, Juventus, and Real Madrid issued a statement over the weekend denouncing the intolerable. The intolerable pressures and threats put on them by UEFA to drop their Super League plan. The founding clubs have suffered. And my goodness, ladies and gentlemen, have they suffered.
The founding clubs, this was like 2 weeks ago. The founding fathers, the founding clubs. You just made that up 2 weeks ago, you pricks.
Of all the history of the ESL, but down the drain.
But they have. I mean, can you remember the time? A time when any of them won a trophy? Do you know what I mean? They really have suffered, and they continue to suffer. Mm.
This is like the guy who drugged his horse and said he was getting cancelled.
Yeah,
that's what it feels like.
It's like the guys at Benfica.
Pete, you're a Newcastle United fan, and Barcelona, Juventus, and Real Madrid are claiming they've suffered. How does that make you feel?
Tino probably agrees. Yeah, I've suffered by my hand, my head.
That was all his own doing, though, wasn't it? They go on. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Bollocks. So they're annoyed because they're still suffering, presumably. Juventus were told yesterday that they would face expulsion from Serie A if they persist with the project.
Might they have to
play... That's a big old threat, that is.
Might they have to play against each other? You know, if like, people call it a bluff, they're like, right, we're leaving. And we're gonna
just the three of them have a little.
Gonna go to Juventus's house. Did you ever used to like pretend to run away from home when you were a kid?
Yes, I would. Ages packing a bag.
I'm packing it. I'm packing it.
And I like went to a mate who lived around the corner, and then his mum just picked up. Yeah, he's here. That feels like a bit what this is about.
Yeah, it is a little bit. I mean, the funny thing is Juventus. They're currently fifth. In Serie A, they can finish in the top four, but they might not even qualify for the Champions League. You know, and you're giving it the big one about the European Super League.
It's enjoyable.
It is very,
I like,
very enjoyable.
I like someone self-derailing their own season.
It's brilliant. The three clubs on Saturday said that it would be highly irresponsible for them to abandon the project. When we put our name to something, we see it through.
Yeah.
Perez insisted that the infamous El Chiringuito interview that the Super League was intended to save football because of the financial crisis facing. Particularly the Spanish clubs. I mean, it's just a load.
It sounds like a lot of clubs who've invested in a month-long contract with Adobe Creative Cloud to make the logo and stuff like that, and they wanted to see some money back for it. Okay, someone give them the 30 quid, and they'll just go away.
I told you we shouldn't have signed up for the year.
What a year? I know it looked cheaper month by month, but the year, that costs more money. Idiot!
Are you hearing?
Get them Pirate Bay.
Someone give them the 30
I know
quid.
Cracks are difficult. I know they get registered as a virus with the virus detector. I know that. But just ignore it. It's not a virus. It's a cracker.
You just type in Pirate Bay mirror. Just Google's easy.
Give them the 30 quid and they'll go away.
Give them the 30 quid and they'll go away.
That's all they want. And that's reasonable, isn't it?
That's
no wonder they continue to suffer. Everybody, say a prayer for Juventus, Barcelona and Real Madrid for crying out loud. Poor buggers. Poor buggers. Gentlemen, let's move on. Let's go to Scotland very, very quickly. Conor McGregor has claimed that he held talks with Celtic's chief shareholder Dermot Desmond about buying stakes in the club. He tweeted his interest in investing in Manchester United last month as well.
He probably like saw that people were throwing stuff at the Man United bus. And he was like, I love throwing things at buses.
Yeah.
One of my favourite things.
Are there any old men to hit? I mean, I can't imagine, because, you know, as the, I forget who was in charge after Lennon left Celtic, the guy who sort of stepped up. As he said, you know, Celtic, they always do the right thing. And they're always, you know, to words to the effect of they're always like the mayors of the moral high ground. So I don't think that them and Conor McGregor would be a good fit.
Yeah, he'd be so out of place with football owners, wouldn't he? Disagreeable, mouthy football owners.
Indeed. But let's go back to Italy. There's an intriguing situation talking about, you know, owners and how they're doing their business. This is quite remarkable. There's a side called Salernitana, and their president, Claudio Lotito, is in question here because the side are returning to the top flight for the first time in 23 years. But Lotito controls Lazio, and you cannot own two teams in the same division. So he needs to sell up in the next 30 days.
Oh, Bruce's millions.
Come on. Surely a cheeky bid from the football ramble.
Yes.
I love all of
it. No, because we can't then own them and also manage Tranmere.
No, that's fine. They're totally different leagues. Totally.
Well, not when we join our European Super Duper League.
Oh, I see. That's the plan, is it? Imagine that, though. Someone says, all right, I'll give you like 50 million euros. Yeah, that's more than I was. Yeah, but that's for Lazio, not the other one.
Also, 30 days when people know he's going to sell.
I know. It's absolutely glorious.
I was about to say, he's not going to get proper value for that.
No.
Poor owner.
Yeah.
Poor owner of football
club. I know, yeah. He really needed to. We won't get promoted. There's a lot of rubbish. Oh, crap.
So, is he in that situation? Surely it makes more sense for him to try and sell Lazio.
But surely they're the big boys, you know.
Well, exactly. So he's more likely to, if he wants to be a football owner, what I'm saying, because otherwise he'll have to give them up, won't he? Give one of them up.
Yeah, you'd give up the smaller side, though, surely.
Yeah, I don't know, but more people would want to buy Lazio. That's what I'm saying.
How right wing is he?
Yeah, exactly. We don't know that question, do we? We don't know anything about.
Good point. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's Lazio's chairman, so there's no way he's going to give up Lazio.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah.
So
I believe in this club. Oh wow. Okay. Yeah.
Well, we shall see. Maybe. I don't know. Does he have any brothers? Yeah, somebody there. You are. You just look after that one. But we shall see. That is, I think that's quite an intriguing situation. So there we are.
He was banned for 2.5 years. In 2006 for Calciopoli.
There you are. So, you know.
So, fit and proper person.
We can trust him. He's learned.
Yeah.
These men always learn from these kind of mistakes, don't they? So that's something.
Here's my football club. Just don't open that door.
Exactly. Gentlemen, let's turn our attentions to this evening's proceedings. Manchester United against Leicester City, big one. Obviously, Southampton play Palace as well. But mostly, the eyes of the Premier League watching masses will be on the Manchester United versus Leicester, you would think. And good news, Vish, or well, depends on which side of the steel barrier you fall on. 10 feet high steel barriers have been erected to protect Old Trafford from anti-Glazers protesters. Actually, that does beg the question, Vish. How are you and your mates going to get over that?
I'm going to get like a bigger mate to throw me like in the X-Men, you know, where that big bloke throws Wolverine like that.
Yes.
And I'll land and be like, oh!
With a big puffer jacket.
I'll tuck and roll as well so I don't hurt myself.
Okay. Why didn't the Glazers erect some bulletproof glass?
Go on.
The Glazers, Marcus.
Double glazing.
Yes. Need to use chin.
Yeah, very good.
I mean, how fucking dystopian is that? It's just...
When we get the news that fans are going to be back into football stadiums.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, hang on. What's the password?
Good God.
Yeah, better news, though, for Manchester United is that they've managed to convince Edinson Cavani to stay on until June 2022.
Yay!
That's good news.
That is good news.
Brilliant news, yeah.
Cavani said, I have developed a great affection for the club, even though I wanted to... No, he said, and everything that it represents. Everything that it represents in recent weeks?
Spending money.
Yeah, and money, some of what it represents. I feel a deep bond with my teammates and the staff who work behind the scenes.
Yeah, because that's the only bond he's been able to strike up. But generally, because there's not been any fans there. One of the things Solskjaer has done a lot over the last couple of months is talk publicly about how, oh, it's great that you're scoring goals, but like, oh, Edinson, you're going to love it when fans are in and you're celebrating in front of the Stretford End. This, that and the other. And I suppose, like, coming from a striker, knowing that kind of serotonin hit really packs a punch when you're, you know, in front of full crowds, as Cavani would know. It was interesting, when he signed, there were a load of different compilation videos doing the rounds on Twitter. And there's the Manchester United goals where he's just like, he scores and then like turns and hugs everyone. And then there's a PSG goals where he scores and he's just legging it all around the ground. Fans hearing his name. And obviously with the logistics of COVID and not being able to see his family and travel as much as around as much as footballers do, it's been a bit of an issue. But yeah, I'm so chuffed he's staying. Yeah.
Do you think Mitro might enjoy it more in front of crowds? He might, if he'd have played in front of crowds in the Premier League this season, he might have put a few more away.
He might have done, Peter.
I think if he could see you in the crowd and be like, I'm going to do this for him.
Yeah,
do
it for him.
Damn right.
In the neutral zone.
Oh, yeah.
Pay for a season ticket.
I think that, well, there was chat that Cavani might go to Boca Juniors. Now, I don't know what the situation is in Argentina. I know they did have quite a comprehensive lockdown and whatnot. But I mean, if you were going to go, again, I don't know what the situation is there in terms of vaccines and easing, but if you'll just indulge me, if you go from no crowd to like then the Boca home crowd, I think it might be too much.
Yeah.
I think it might be like, oh, I should have stayed that extra season to ease myself into this, you know. But he's staying, and that's good news. It's very, very good news, especially as apparently Mason Greenwood is his apprentice now. If we're, you know, that chat on Match of the Day about the master and the apprentice and so on.
But why do we force players to do that?
I know. They might hate each other for all we know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe Greenwood's teaching him a few things. It's unlikely, but you know, he's
you just swipe right here. That's how that works. It is in Finnish, yeah. Got to change it.
Yeah. Oh, dear. She's in Iceland, that one. But Marcus Rashford, though, a striker for Manchester United, if we can still call him that. Forward player. You say forward nowadays, don't you? Mm. He was reflecting on his time under Jose Mourinho. It's another one who's lining up to tick the boat in. Where's he going? Roma? Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, safe.
Will this make life a little bit more difficult for Chris Smalling? Potentially, but don't care. Under Jose, I would say everything was a bit, you play there, you play there, you play there. And yeah, you can do a job, but it was difficult for me to play my best football.
I mean, it sounds like he doesn't want to be managed.
Yeah. I mean, you do have to play somewhere.
You play there. That is bare minimum.
I know Ole Gunnar Solskjaer seems to be quite sort of liberal with his praise and the rules and quite relaxed. It's kind of like, lads...
I don't even know the positions anymore, to be honest.
Who have I picked? We have to be front three. Happy with that? Yeah. Whatever. Just work it out amongst
Vibe
yourselves.
Vibe it out. Vibe it.
You know what? Just all have a ball. Everyone's got a ball.
Just enjoy yourselves. Yeah. That's all we ask. It's a big one, though, against Leicester.
It is.
Put pressure on Manchester City at the top.
Well, no, but I think...
Is there a chat? Go on, B.
But I think there is an interesting thing at play here whereby Manchester United would ideally want Liverpool out of the Champions League.
Yeah.
So therefore, you know, whatever negotiating power they have over the summer will be diminished.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be sadder.
Yes.
And it might affect how things go forward next season. But, yeah, I mean, Leicester's running. I know it was mentioned yesterday, but it's pretty ridiculous. But the other issue is obviously United have this game and then they've got the Liverpool game on Thursday. Mm. And Solskjaer said he's going to play, have to play a weekend team because obviously not just with the finale, but the Europa League final as well. Mm-hmm. I wonder if it's maybe this one and he goes full pelt at Liverpool on Thursday. Mm-hmm. And I suppose that would make more sense given, you know, how United played on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it should be interesting to see where Leicester are, because I don't want Leicester to fall out of it.
No, I
don't. But then if they do, I want West Ham to
I know what you mean.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, well, we're all on board there. We're on the same page. There we are, ladies and gentlemen. We've finished today's football round, but I hope you've had a lovely time. On tomorrow's show, Kate, Andy and Jim will be in your ears talking about more things from the world of football. Lovely old job. Thanks very much, Vish.
Thank you.
Thanks very much, Pete.
Ta-ta.
Thank you, everybody. See you soon.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.